to episode 28 of Caithness Craft Collective. The plethora is about Mr. Sneeze and all things sneezy. We have the Craft Fairy, the Scottish segment, and Big Up the Blog segment. I have the news, the hellos, and let you know what the collective have been up to. And as ever, I'm sponsored by my own business, www.energyhunt.com, and I'll let you have all links in the show notes that come with the place that you download this from, so relax and get the links later. Get your tea and your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week. The blather?
No for the blather.
Sneeze. Hello any new listeners, just a quick update on this blather thingy. I have a theme every episode and decided to have a series of linked themes, and I've picked something that I know quite a lot about, and that's the Mr. Men books. This week it's Mr. Sneeze. Here's my resident Mr. Men expert to tell you all about Mr. Sneeze. So Sandy, what can you tell us about Mr. Sneeze?
Well, he's a spiky shape and he doesn't have a smile and he sneezes a lot.
And what colour is he?
Blue.
And what colour is his nose?
Red.
Okay, thank you Mr. Sandy. Poor Mr. Sneeze. That's all he does is sneeze. He does have the good sense to walk away and is fortunate to get help from a wizard who takes him home and he melts all the snow. And then nobody in Coldland sneezes anymore. This is all very well and good for them, but what about the polar bears or the penguins, depending on the north or the south pole of Coldland is there? Actually, I was naughty once. I was away from Caithness and I was asked where I was from and I said, oh, the north coast of Scotland. And she said, asked if it was cold and I said, oh, yeah, we get penguins migrating in the winter. And she went, really? And I went, no, penguins live in the south pole. And yes, I'm a bad person. Made me laugh for quite a while, that, though. The definition of sneeze is from the medical dictionary as verb to expel air forcibly from the mouth and nose in an explosive, spasmodic, involuntary action resulting chiefly from irritation of the nasal mucous membrane. Nice. Sorry if you're eating. Sneeze fact. On the 1st of the 1st of 81, a girl in the UK began sneezing and continued for 977 consecutive days, sneezing in plus a million times for the first 365 days. What a poor wee soul. There you go, sneeze fact. I had wondered about actually leaving poor Mr. Sneeze out, and then I thought, oh, I've got a few things to say. Plus, as you can hear, I've got a cold. And I've done a little bit of sneezing myself. And I'm quite narked that I've got the cold, because I didn't want the cold, but I think the cold wanted me. Because hubby had it, and so did poor mum. And poor mum, I had made her go down to Glasgow and walked her up Bath Street really fast. And she had this cold. And I thought, well, I've been in their company lots, and if I'm going to get it, I would have had it by now. But I am not going to complain about it. I'm only mentioning it because of the sneeze category. I don't really care for anyone who constantly moans about their health. I call them health vampires. They're only happy when it rains. Really, the state of the world today, a wee cold is just a wee cold. But please excuse my gravelly tone. And I am only mentioning it because of Mr. Sneeze. I do sneeze because I'm allergic to certain things. When you've got eczema or asthma, you tend to be allergic to lots of things. It's a bit of a pest, but, wait, I'm 36 now, kind of know of, to avoid dust. And I bet Mum's laughing just now. I use a wet duster when I dust, and yes, I do dust, occasionally. And I intentionally have as few surfaces as I have to dust. I don't have a glass display, a cabinet of ornaments requiring dusting every 3 days. Plus, I hoover it up as much as possible. I'm also allergic to the dander in the pet hair. We got a Lakeland Terrier for his wiry coat. Obviously his love and puppy dog eyes, and the fact he sits on the couch, which I think he is just now, but he had to have a wiry coat for me not to sneeze all the time. I am pretty allergic to my in-laws' dogs, but I don't think my mother-in-law realises the reason that I'm so dippy when we go to them to visit. It's because I'm always doped up the eyeballs with antihistamines. Drugs, man. Drugs are bad. Don't take them. I think I'm allergic to the alpaca fibre I got at the craft fair. It was so fine and I started itching when I petted it and sneezed a little bit and my nose was itchy. Not the whole alpaca. They wouldn't fit or be allowed into the Edinburgh Marriott. I have about 25 grams of it in a wee bag. I am allergic to bunny rabbits and they make me feel quite ill. So I don't think I'll ever spin angora fur. When hubby shoots a few for the pot, I am sorry vegetarian people, but we do live in the country and sometimes are poor and needs must, but when he has to turn him from bunnies to bunny burgers, this has to be done out with my area or I am really ill. And no, that's not an excuse. Are you still awake after all my allergy things? I know tenuous crafty link to sneezing, but be cautious in your choosing of yarny goodness for people as you never know that they might be allergic to that fantastic angora sweater that you just made them. What a waste of bunny fur that would be. The song this week is A Chew by The Sparks. Thanks, Craig, for the help with this. And also suggested by Sarah was the Comic Relief song, The Wanted with Gold Forever, which is because Comic Relief was last week, which is also called Red Nose Day, and Mr. Sneeze has red nose from sneezing all the time. You can still buy this track if you want to support the Comic Relief Fund. Wasn't Chris Moyle's marathon show compellingly good? I like him a lot. Husband's not so keen, but the longer the show went on, I was well chuffed with his concentration skills. Plus, raising $2 million was brilliant, just for being on the radio. And that's a UK thing for those not in the UK. If you sneeze, you will need a handkerchief. And these can be quite fascinating in the fact that they are a material. I like material. I'm going to read this from Wikipedia as I find it interesting. The material of a handkerchief can be symbolic of the social economic class of the user, not only because some materials are more expensive, but because some materials are more absorbent and practical for those who use a handkerchief for more than style. Handkerchiefs can be made of cotton, cotton synthetic blend, synthetic fibre, silk or linen. Handkerchiefs were also used, especially by children, as an impromptu way to carry around small items when a bag or basket were unavailable. They could also substitute as a bandage over a small injury. In the United Kingdom, the habit of wearing a handkerchief with tag corners on one's head at the beach has become a seaside postcard stereotype, referenced by the Gumby characters in Monty Python's Flying Circus. You can hear me smiling at this, can't you? Historically, white handkerchiefs have been used in place of a white flag to indicate surrender or flag of truce, in addition to waving away sailors from port. King Richard II of England, who reigned from 1377 to 1399, is widely believed to have invented the cloth handkerchief, as surviving documents written by his courtiers describe his use of square pieces of cloth to wipe his nose. So, you're all sitting with your handkerchiefs on your head. You are. If you're not, put them on. You can get some beautifully embroidered handkerchiefs. They're quite small and easily transportable projects for beginners to practice embroidery on. My hubby uses proper handkerchiefs, but I actually prefer a paper tissue. I like to embroider and paint my handkerchiefs, because that is what they are for. Well, I think the conclusion to the sneeze blather this episode is to cover your sneeze with a hanky or at least your hand, and you should wash afterwards to stop the spread of colds. And also walk out, walk away if you're constantly sneezing like poor Mr. Sneeze did. And I don't think you'll catch mine through your ears, so you don't need to wash them. Except you, Granny G, your ears are filthy. Anyway, moving on. Warning, if you need a pee stop, then come back after it's time for the dizzy laugh. So, the Craft Fairy segment.
Craft Fairy.
Craft Fairy helped Lisa Lynn make a drop spindle, and she has made yarn with it already. Did anybody notice last episode I called mine a hand spindle? I meant a drop spindle. But when I was recording, I could not remember the correct term for life of me. So I meant a drop spindle. Also, Fanarda is starting to get into spinning. She's found a group locally to her in Ottawa, and they hire out the equipment to beginners. So that, I think that's a brilliant idea, because we just kind of borrow our one over. And we were actually discussing buying one for this kind of idea, and I'll pass that back that they do that in Ottawa. She asked my advice about spinning, which I gave her the limited advice I have. Basically, try it. But if anyone has good questions about spinning, I will refer you to two podcasters who I've mentioned before. One is Yarn Spinner's Tale, and the other is The High Fibre Diet with Coggy, who knows a lot more than I. And one last craft fairy magic. On Twitter the other night, Deadly Nightshade of Stitch London fame requested anything to do with New York for Twitter brainstorm. I think she's planning her next project of madness. And at the exact moment in time, Radio 1 was playing Alicia Keys singing New York, which I think is a beautiful record, but she said that she wasn't listening to it. So I said, wow, that's spooky. Can you say all my Twitter friends should have yarny goodness come through their doors? And she did. So check your doors for yarny goodness tomorrow, because Deadly Nightshade is clairvoyant. So sending the warmest of get well wishes to Susan from Knit the Journey podcast again, and she has now gone back to work. So she's taking big steps in the right direction, so keep them going, Susan. Sending more love and best wishes to Japanese listeners, and I pray that you can get some kind of normality in the madness that is your country just now. There are many arts and crafts sales about just now so that people abroad can donate to Japanese cause. And you can also donate to the Red Cross directly if you would like to help raise money for those affected. As ever, give what you can to help those with absolutely nothing. The pictures still make me cry. Also, Libya, I hope that calms down. Boo to grumpy dictators, yet again. I don't think they'll be listening to me, but there you go. Right, and selfishly, I'm going to say get well soon to me. I was delighted not to get flu this year, and this is my first cold of the winter, so I'm more narked than anything than feeling sorry for myself. Plus, it is the me show, so get well me, and actually anyone else who has a cold. It is a trivial thing, but it does limit us from getting everything we want done. Hello section. Hello to Mattia Mimi, oh that's right, whose hats I love. Oh, I just love the little girl ones, lovely. Dishcloth Diva, who has the coolest of cool names, and I can see that one. Bedwin Arian, who has some lovely jumpers. She's quite modest as well. Penelope, who is the cutest bear. Rue from Knit Sense Podcast. We have discovered that we are very similar, but a continent apart. She is my other fellow geek. Paris Phone, and you have to check her shawls out. They are divine, Lise Maven. Just divine. You're in the same class, you know. And they've joined the group in Ravelry, so I'm loving the chat and your project pages, and I'm still dancing with the little messages. Hello to new Twitters, tweet me, I'll say hello and give you cheek back. My 100th follower was KQ Quilting, so that was nice. I do have quite a few weird followers, and I think are spam robot types, and some I think, why are you following me? I've got nothing to say to you. But my ego saw 100, and I thought, well, I must mention that, because that's quite cool. What's a crack section?
What's the e-crack section?
Drive-by friending. Yarn Salad has written about this in her blog, which is quite interesting and worth a wee look. A Kansas stopped at the shop that she always drives past and had a nose around for us, a la Mr. Nosy, bled our last episode. As she said that the shop was nice, she resisted the bakery goods, but she now knows that it's there. And I was drive-by friended by Lissy One and Lydia. Hello! And Rachel from Knit Sense Podcast has given me a lovely mention on her podcast, which was very kind of her. Thank you. If you've not yet listened to her, please find her on iTunes as Knit Sense. And that's sense as in C-E-N-T-S, the money in America. Or you go to www.knitsense.blogspot.com. And she's got a lovely attitude, I think, to life. Very sunshine and positive. Which we like the positive, we always have. The Mother Bear Project. I'm going to recap from last time. Acanthus, who hails from Duluth, Minnesota, sent me a message to ask if I would highlight the Mother Bear Project. And for those of you who don't know what a Mother Bear is, go to www.motherbearproject.org for a full rundown. Also, www.teddiesfortragedies.org. And there's still time for you, if you're a quick knitter, to send one to Acanthus, who is visiting London on the 9th to the 17th of April. And if you contact me or her, we will brandish you with a postal address for us to send them to. I know we have 3 coming from Caithness. And I'm going to put my hand up and say, the pattern is not hard. It's because I was quite a beginner it was 2 years ago when we did it. And it was about picking up stitches, and it's really not that hard. It was just sitting doing mindless knitting, and it's fine. And because you lot are all much better than me, you'll be fine. There is somebody out there. I know where right. I would suggest send it straight to Acanthus in London and save double posting. What's the point in posting it to me to post it down there? Get Acanthus's address and post it straight there. My bear has white paws and head, and he's got purple trousers and a yellow jumper, and he's going to have a purple scarf. He is the colour of a crocus, which is nice for springtime. Yes, I know. He's out there. He's like a 70s retro purple trouser kind of guy. But it might be a girl, you never know. Rachel has finished her bear very quickly. And thank you to everyone very much for doing these. And if you don't do Mother Bear this time, please just think of doing a Teddy for Tragedy. Now, talking about my teddy bear's last episode, the morning after this was aired, I woke to find my teddy in bed with me and Hobby's teddy on his side of the bed, the bairns with their special bears in the bed with them. Although they did wake me up by getting into the bed. And it was just complete teddy fest. Now, I had kind of donated mine and Hobby's bears to Sandy's room, which is where they normally live. But I think they must have been listening to the podcast and wanted a cuddle. And of course, I believe that toys are alive when we don't watch them, just like Toy Story. So I don't shut the toy box at night so Buzz and Woody can have adventures. Now, I'm loving people's ravatars. Check out Chill77, Penelope's and AC Bonnie's for starters. There are lots of artistic ones. Mine's kind of boring, like, but it's my urchin hat and I'm proud of it. And it was a good couple of days we went over to Isla for that picture, but Chill77's brilliant. It's a Muppet and he's knitting. Penelope's is sweetest little teddy bear, and AC Bonnie's is an actual bear and he just looks like he's wanting to eat you. But that's just for starters, and these were the 3 off the top of my head. Everybody's just got a brilliant Ravatar. I've also been on Planet Pearl Community. I'm on there as Caithness Squeezy. I must have done this quite a long time before Caithness Craft Collective, so look me up. Somebody has. Somebody found me. I don't know if they know who I am, but they will now. Right, and I have a correction from the last episode. I got quite confused with the Sky Shillisdare Shop and Shillisdare Yarns. And I must apologise, I got the wrong web link in the show last episode. And when I was looking for the links for you, you see, I typed in Shillisdare into Google, and the first entry was the yarn business which Eva runs. And she would like it noted that the Sky Shillisdare Shop, which was Judy from last week, and her business Shillisdare Yarns are separate entities in their own right. And although they share the same Shillisdare ethos of beautiful products, they are totally owned by separate people. One is the shop for domestic and the yarn business is for wholesale. You see, I didn't get this from the interview myself, and actually neither did a few of my listeners when I told them. And to tell you the truth, it wasn't until Judy emailed me with the Sky Shillisdare Shop web address that the penny dropped. But I've corrected them now and I apologise for any confusion. Judy's the one you want for non-wholesale at the shop. And this is who Rachel interviewed last week. And of course you can buy Eva's yarns from Judy's shop. But if you want wholesale, go to Eva directly at the yarns business. I'm afraid my accountant won't accept me buying wholesale yarns for my business. But that is not to stop you doing it. In fact, knitting law. And we do wish them both well in their crafty endeavours. Their products are beautiful. And with this confusion on my part, because the Shillisdare name being the same, you won't forget them. But I think I've cleared that up. So they're two different shops, there's Sky Shillisdare Shop and Shillisdare Yarns. So this brings me to my next bit of news, and I have a competition for you, which you can win the two skeins of the Luxury 4-ply and Logwood Purple colourware that I bought from Shillisdare. And what you have to do is very simple, is just leave a comment on the Ravelry group after I put the show notes up, and stating, pick me please. That's all you have to do. I'll put your name in a hat, and I'll get Sandy or Dizzy to pick you out. And I will announce the winner in the next episode, which will be 2 weeks from today, which is the 25th of March. It's not to say you're going to go on the 25th of March, but it has been recorded on the 25th of March. I don't often tell you the exact date because sometimes I have problems with the editing and timing of the children, and sometimes I have to do things. But today is the 25th of March. Happy birthday, anybody whose birthday is today. Oh, and happy birthday, Yarn Salad. I didn't forget, I just forgot to tell you. Big up the blog section. This week I would like to mention www.needledwordpress.com. And yes, I have double checked this link. And she is the famous Katie Davies of the Owl's Jumper fame. And she is a fantastic knitwear designer. And there are about 4,000 of her Owl's Jumper on the project pages of Ravelry. I myself have been working out if I have enough yarn to make this, and also would it suit me? I like Owls, you see, and Hoxton has knitted this and talked about it. And she has knitted the Neepeed hat that Katie designed too. And of course, you know we all love Neeps in this podcast. Now, Katie had a stroke last year and she's, well, about my age, so it must have been nothing less than horrific for her. And she blogged about it and her recovery since then. She had blogged before it happened and she's, I think, very kind to share her experience with us. She's wonderful at photography. So is it just me that's not good at photography then? I think so. But I'm kind of hoping that she'll publish a book so she can buy all these wonderful patterns in one place. But do go have a looky and enjoy the art and her spirit. I think we could all learn a lot, humbleness and the way she writes, because she's had such a tragic thing happen to her. And bring it back to the health thing. You don't have much if you don't have your health. Well, also, Katie lives in Edinburgh. So she takes photographs of places that I know quite well, but I'd never think about taking a picture of the railings there, and she's really good. Go and have a look. So back to the Scottish segment.
Scottish segment.
Malcolm III. Well, he took over from Macbeth, he of the Shakespeare play fame, and Malcolm was known as Canmore or Big Hearted. He was a bluff warrior type who spoke Gaelic, English and Latin, but he didn't write any of them. Maybe his handwriting wasn't so good. You never know. He did try to go for a bit of world domination and invaded England, which forced William the Conqueror of Battle of Hastings, Arrow and Harold's Eye fame to come north, and he took Malcolm's son Duncan back as a hostage to force Malcolm to stop it. But Malcolm didn't, and he carried on twice more. William the Conqueror died in 1087 and Duncan was returned north. Malcolm went into England again for a fight, to pick a fight, seems like Braveheart, but this time he was captured and killed, and he made two diplomatic marriages in his time, and the first one was to the widow of the Earl of Orkney and Caithness. Woo, that's us. And then the second to the saintly Margaret, who was a princess of the Old English line. That makes her sound like she's a train on the line, the Old English line. Sorry. Ah, now, Margaret was a civilising influence on Malcolm in the religious sense through her Christianity. Not in the go, don't go down to England and pick a fight sense, because he obviously didn't listen to his wife on that matter. Anyway, her influence created the royal castle on the Rock of Edinburgh, and the tiny chapel where I have visited bears her name. And it is a nice wee chapel, it's painted white inside from what I remember, but I would assume it to be quite drafty and cold back in that day. I now connect in my brain who she was and why the chapel was called so. I looked it up after I wrote this, and it says it can now be hired as a wedding venue for 25 exclusive guests, which is basically because it's so small. I do know a couple of people who have been guests, and what an auspicious location to be married. Okay, back to the kings. Donald III tried a few times to restore the Scottish way of accession, but the accession in 1097 of Edgar, who was the eldest son of Margaret and the bluff Malcolm III, the throne devolved by inheritance. Then in 1249, Alexander III, and he was 7 years old, succeeded his father, who had died on board ship trying to wrest the Hebrides from Norway. And at age 10, Alexander was married to another Margaret, who was daughter of Henry III of England, which ensured peace with England and Scotland for a time. And then I'll go on to the next tumultuous time in Scottish kings and queens the next episode, and I think you probably need tissue for this one. Paint your face blue and shout Braveheart quite a lot, because I think it comes on to William Wallace then. Right, on to myself, yes. Well, it is the Me Show segment. Textile artists. Shirley was doing the most wonderful thing I have seen. I have never seen this before, and apparently it happens all the time. This happens to me quite a lot, I think. Well, she took out a piece of work that she had on the go for a while, and it is a cat picture that she's making into a wall hanging. Gets the point, Louise, yeah? That the picture is from a tea towel. How cool is that? Obviously it was a new tea towel, but she had layered it up with wadding and then some simple backing and is quilting stitching around the picture of the cats. Now, well, cats are not my thing. They could be yours, as they are Shirley's. See, I could have Daisies or Lakeland Terriers, or a map of Caithness. Or do they do Star Wars tea towels? Sandy would love that on his wall. In John O'Groats, along the road, they have a few tourist shops. Actually, along the road for me is Piddy Puckle Shoppy, which my neighbour has, and they do tourist tea towels, and I will look at them differently now. Have you ever read your tea towels? I did once when I was hanging them out on the line to dry, and I have quite a few recipes. I've got some butterflies, a couple of maps of Scotland, and a castle of Maybourne. Some of them I didn't even know I had. They just appear in my drawer. I think I've got a tea towel fairy. Oh no, I'd rather have a craft fairy. I have set up the lining of my knitted handbag in the bottom lobby in the local yarn shop Elizabeth and Thurso. They have a stand where they put in oddments and old sample books. You put a wee donation to Thurso and Bloom for the hanging baskets, etc. And you can find some weird and wonderful things in there, mostly coat hangers. But last time I was in there, I found a big handful of material samples, most no bigger than 20 centimetres square, and also some foam remnants that are to be used now for needle felting sponges. I was having no luck at getting some matching material for my handbag that I'd knitted, but when I put out the samples to match them up before I put them in my stash, I thought, ooh, they match the handbag quite well, so I will sew them all together and make a lining for them. Hooray to recycling stuff that cost me a donation. Spinning was good. Well, crack was good, but the actual spinning was atrocious. Can you cast your minds back to last November and I bought some fibre from a shop in Oban that was from the new Lanark Mill? I've got 4 bats in 2 colours. And well, I thought, it can't be that hard, so I started it up, but I kept snapping and we decided that the staples were very short. And then I thought, well, let's spin it a bit fatter then. And I got a wee bit on and I was just getting in the zone and it was time to go home. But I shall persist. Also, thank you, Coggy. Your advice was wonderful for preparing fibre for spinning. Yes, that was me that asked that question. I was using my Nostipine and have made lots of yarn cakes for my stash. And there's something lovely about using a centre pull ball that you know won't fangle on you. And I like the fact that I can make cakes now even though I can't eat them. I have been knitting myself, Hobby's Not for Christmas nor Birthday Brioche Hat by Wendy Easton. Not counting does have its drawbacks. Yes, I know you're all laughing and shaking your head. When the pattern is not appearing, so I ripped it out. And I wasn't upset about ripping it out, as I normally loathe it, but for some reason I was okay about it, but it wasn't very far in, it was only about 2 centimetres. And I now have the pattern going correctly, and I'll try and finish it before summertime. Speaking of which, the spring equinox happened, big tides and super moon ensued, and the geese are starting to fly north. There are less of them about, and I will soon welcome the return of the house martins. And when they appear, I will change the intro and outro music to Wild Mountain Time, as it is has a line on it, "Oh, summertime is coming," and, well, I don't feel I can play that in the winter time. I've cast on my fingerless mitts from the possum yarn I bought in Glasgow, and it is so soft. And remember, I'm not that keen on rib. Well, whole mitt is in rib. And there's a slight cable every seventh row, but the rest is in rib. And I'm actually really enjoying it. It's in dark blue and lighter blue flecks, so I have to be with a light above me or wear something light in my lap, like the blanket, or pattern so I can see where I am if I'm not paying too much attention. I've carried on knitting the cardigan I'm doing, and I handed my mum my Crofter tank top from last summer. That's not me clearing my throat, that's me going ahem. Oops. Well, at least she'll have it done for me before the end of summer. Giftnet Girl gave me a brilliant piece of advice of do half an hour knitting on it and see if you want to carry on and then hand it on or rip it out. Well, I didn't actually do that, I just handed it on. And it was my only outstanding unfinished object in knitting. Not in textile artists, but in knitting. And Mum didn't have much on. She stops this nonsense in the summer when she's in the garden all the time, though. So don't worry, I don't take too much advantage of her. And that's me. Right, thank you very much for listening. I really do appreciate it. If you want to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise G. Hunt on Stitching Fingers as Louise Hunt. KeithnessCraftCollective@gmail.com or leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. You can get me on iTunes or www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. I'm on Twitter as KeithnessCraft. And I'm on Knitty as Keithness Craft, which I need to get into a bit more. Can somebody help me with that? All the links are on the show notes, and I have double-checked them. So please go there, click if anything you want more information on. The music this week is Caledonia by Caledonex from www.musicalley.com playing us out. Cheers for listening, and keep on crafting. I think about you all the time. Yes, I think about you. Caledonia, you're calling me. Now I'm